to just be able to come and praise him this morning and be excited to be in God's house and to draw near to him. I'm often reminded we don't ever know what a week holds, amen? And just so thankful to know that we've come to listen to God. And that's the greatest need we have, amen? And everybody in our country, everybody in Charlotte needs to listen to God, amen? Amen? Listen to God. A couple of things before we dive in. One is this. A couple of real special nights coming up tonight and Wednesday night. Now, I believe what Dr. James Dobson said. Dr. James Dobson, just a great man of God, has written and spoken and done more for the family probably than anybody, single person in the world. And he made a statement one time, and he said, "Have no expectations of anyone but God." Now, how about that? And I found that to be pretty true, okay? So I'm going to have no expectations of y'all regarding tonight or Wednesday, but believing that if you'll hear what I think God wants to do, you might come. It's amazing how people come for revival, but they can't hardly come back. Y'all right? Okay, we'll go on from there. But tonight, Brother Brian is going to share his testimony. And, you know, just awesome to get to hear, as I told Brian, you know, he said, "Well, in specific, what, you know, what we're going, what you," I said, "Well, you know, pretty simple, you know, just interested in how your life was for God and how you met God." And we've all got a testimony, amen, if you know Jesus. But on beyond that, he's going to share with us a little bit about what I've been mentioning the last few Sundays about what maybe God might be able to do through that stem cell treatment and how we can help and get along and love him. So excited about that tonight. And then after Brian shares, we're going to have a special time of prayer, not only for Brian, but just a lot of things going on in the church family. And I encourage you to be here and pray. Deborah's bound this Ramsey Hunt, and I know she's so thankful just to be here and thankful for Tim and for Davey jumping in and for the choir and all, but just for that. And Byron and Dennis in the back going through treatment for cancer and just many things. Colette's recovering at home from surgery. Just so many things. So tonight we're going to spend some time in prayer. So I encourage you to be here, and we'll pray for our neighbors there in Charlotte, and I know some of you work there and have been impacted by this week. You know, it hits home. I said Wednesday night, my precious daughter, who will always be my little girl, she works there at Carolina's Medical Hospital, the university location, just right within driving distance of some of the unrest of the week. And several of you work downtown, and so my wife said it best. You know, this old country way me and my family are. She said last night, she said, "Them people need to go home and we need to get out of the way so we can get back to work and move on." Amen? Amen? Amen. You know? Amen. So be in prayer tonight. I'm excited about our prayer time, and come. And you may have some need that no one knows about. And we're just going to ask God to move tonight. Amen? Move in that time of prayer. And be praying for Brian in a special way. And then on Wednesday night, Dave and Christy are going to be here, our missionaries from Peru, going to be updating us what's going on, got some things to show us. We're excited about that, so be here Wednesday night for our 7 o'clock hour and our time of prayer, and be with them. And afterwards, you know, can't let the men of the church get ahead of us as a church, but we're going to have a time of fellowship afterwards. Pretty simple. Kitchen folks are going to make us some coffee and tea. You're going to have dessert, so grab a dessert at Food Line. If you got time to make one, or, you know, early on and bring it, but we'll just have some dessert and coffee and tea on Wednesday night, and pray for Dave and Christy, and just continue to pray for what's going on in Peru. Amen? All right, turn your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 19. I'm as excited about what's happened since I arrived here this morning as I am about where God's got us today. But 1 Kings 19, and we've been in this passage for a few Sundays now. We're just going to focus really on, if you would, in verse 5. So 1 Kings 19:5, I'll read three verses. We're going to pick up right where we left off. And that's what we did in my Sunday school class. And I'm just amazed. I glorify God's name for in the Word of God, where we left off in Sunday school last Sunday, and we're at today, and where we pick up and we're at today. That's God's hand. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 5. "And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said to him, 'Arise and eat.' And he looked, And behold, there was a cake baked on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. Dear God, we acknowledge as a church family that the journey is too great for us, Lord. Just like Elijah. This journey is too great. What we're experiencing individually in our lives and our church and at work and what's going on in just our neighboring cities and just what's going on in this world. Lord, it's just, we believe your word to be true, and it's just too great for us. So we claim and we praise and we lift and we believe and we want to live knowing that your word tells us that with you, God, all things are possible. All things are possible. Lord, so we come very humbly this morning, ask you to anoint your word and anoint this messenger and anoint the hearts and souls to receive, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and you may be seated. We begin talking about, if you look down verse 12, kind of the central theme of what we've been looking at for some Sundays now was that still small voice of God, that voice of God hearing God. On Wednesday nights, we've been looking and really just the idea of listen. As God calls out in the Bible that we need to listen to him. And man, so excited of just able to hear him early this morning. I almost brought my devotion to read to you, but it seems like every Sunday, every day, I could make that applicable, so I didn't. But I was reading this morning, and Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest, just spoke so clearly to the climate we live in, the things we see and experience. So excited to arrive in Sunday school class and be there with brothers and sisters in Christ that we could kind of reflect on the week and all the things that we've seen and experienced, but from a biblical view. From a biblical worldview, not what the news says, not what I think you think, not what anybody, but you know, to biblically begin to talk about it, and then to pray together. I mean, just awesome time this morning. And then what I was so excited about is I just stopped Scott mid-lesson to give God some glory. And that last week, we were looking at the book of Revelation, and we've been looking at some of the churches and the church of Smyrna. But actually, where we left off, Scott, we talked about trials in our lives. And we listed them out and talked some, and Scott was doing a review. And I praise God because, listen, hey, we saw some trials this week there in Charlotte. See on the TV, we saw trials. But I even said in our class, that pales into comparison that some of the trials that you may experience in your very home. And more importantly, there's homes all around our church and all around where you live that I'm telling you, when a home is maybe full of lostness and there's no one in that home that knows Jesus, or where maybe the father's lost or the mother's lost or the children are lost. I mean, I'm telling you, people experiencing turmoil and trouble and trials in their homes this morning that what was going on in Charlotte didn't grab their attention at all. Amen? I don't know all the things you're dealing with, but it's the fact of what's going on. As we talked about those trials, I was so thankful that as we see trials biblically, the Bible teaches us about what trials can do to help us in life. Trials are part of life. But we've got to approach our trials, and according to God's word, we've got to learn from them. And God's word and listening to God, what we're talking about these Sundays, listening and hearing that voice will prevent us from many trials and prevent many things that we see going on, not only in Charlotte, but all over our world. Amen? We talked about after in this passage in 19, 1 Kings 19, that Elijah's gone through a great victory with God, great times of his lives. And I still believe that we live in one of the greatest countries of the world. There are countries in the world that when people protest, they simply go out, they kill them, they gather up and dump them in a mass grave. Look at it. Look at the news. We still live in a great country. There's still great things about us. And the thing is, after times of greatness, though, is often in example after example in our lives when Satan will attack, and that's what we experience today. Seen great things, and then he was threatened by Jezebel. She just sent word. Isn't it amazing how you can just hear a word and hear something and just set you off and affect you so much during the week? We talked one Sunday about our selfishness distract us from hearing his voice. Amen? We're so busy. We're so self-centered. And the idea of why doesn't God make that still small voice be louder? Why didn't he get louder? Well, simply speaking, God is not competing with the world. God is waiting. God is knocking on the heart's door. And always, it doesn't matter what people do or say. I thought often this week that the things that we've seen, it all stems from not listening to God. And I'm not talking about the riots and the demonstrations and all the trouble in Charlotte. I'm talking about what we see in the church and in our life. People just, when you refuse to listen to God, then you're not going to listen to mom and daddy. And you're not going to listen to your boss. And you're not going to listen to the preacher. And you're not going to listen to the police. And you're not going to listen to anybody. It all centers in. And I'm not oversimplifying it. That's the problem, y'all. These talking heads on TV and all this stuff that you read online. I mean, we're riding to Monroe the other day, and somebody posted online, man, they've shut off 74 in Wingate protesting. It's just a lie. Just a lie. Made me glad, though, I was headed up the country way to Monroe and not up the highway. I mean, you're all right. I mean, it's just crazy stuff. And all it comes from is not listening to God. When I'm really focused on listening to God, I don't have time to be listening on everything else. So we must prepare ourselves to listen. And that's kind of where we started last Sunday, to be prepared. That Elijah had this turning point in verse 4 where he called out to the Lord. Now, he's just simply calling out, telling him he wants to give up, wants to die, and wants to go on. But he at least made that turning point, began to call on the Lord. And I made the statement Sunday that we want to be sensitive, as it talks about there in verse 5, and then again in verse 7. We need to be sensitive to the touch of God. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. We want to look at, really, I'm going to give you three really basic, three exciting ways that God will touch you. So we're thinking about to hear that still small voice, to listen to God, to be obedient. And by the way, when we listen to God, in the main ways we listen to God is in His Word and in prayer. I almost come out of my chair on Thursday night, I think it was, because Channel 9 began to play this really sweet and just really meaningful, almost worshipful music. And after one of their newscasts, they flashed up, "Pray for our city." Wow. Wow. Why, I about jumped out of my seat. It was, I looked at my family. I said, "How about last Thursday?" There's enough problems going on last Thursday to do that. What about next Thursday? And it's this, prayer. Prayer is one of those main ways we listen to God. And when you hear God's still small voice, what prayer means is when the Bible, when God literally says, "If you love me, you will keep my word." So prayer means that you're saying, "God, I'm listening to you. I believe in you. I need your help." And not just when there's a tragedy if somebody dies. Amen? Rick, you remember 9/11. Man, everybody's praying, and it's a wonderful thing. But the problem is that when prayer means I'm listening to you, God, and I love you, and I want to keep your word. I don't think that's what Channel 9 meant. I don't think that's what a lot of our leaders in our area think. That's what prayer means. Prayer means I want to keep your word. And keep all the word, not just parts you want to keep. So we need to be sensitive that this overwhelms me. I need it desperately. We need, as a church, everyone that's still protesting, they need to be sensitive that God is touching. And when God touches, God does different things. So I want to dive in, and I want us to realize that he says, as he touches Elijah, they still touch. You believe that? I believe God still touches. And I want us to look at three ways. I want us to look and see how angels touch, how I believe God still uses angels to touch, just like they touched Elijah, how the Holy Spirit touches, how God through his Spirit literally will reach out and touch us, and then how God will touch other people and use them to touch us. And sometimes, man, how desperate we need that, right? We're just not feeling the angel presence. We're not even, we're numb, and we've gotten a heart in the heart, and we're scared or fearful. We don't even sense the Spirit, but God will literally through an angel or through the Holy Spirit send some person to be God's touch upon our lives. So let's dive in and think that about that angel that touched Elijah in verses 5 and 7. But I want you to turn with me to Mark chapter 1 and verse 13. Mark chapter 1 and verse 13 in the New Testament. And so turn faster y'all turn, and the faster y'all listen to God, the faster we go. Amen. Mark 1 and 13. Isn't it exciting, though, to think about as we're turning and continue to look in God's Word and focus on what God has to say this morning, that I was reminded, as I said, Sunday school, and then we come in and the choir begins to sing about his wonderful name and talking about Jesus as our Lord and how we bow down before him and how we love and adore him. And then, the choir is singing about the name of Jesus, and the words in that song had the words like wonderful and matchless and grace and to magnify his name. And Scott begins to sing the words, "Jesus is mine." It had in that song that Scott sang perfect submission all is at rest. I mean, when you hear God, we become humble. We become submissive. I'm telling you, I've had a time this morning, and we ain't had to protest. We ain't had to march down the street. We had to close off Goldmine, Helen's Crossroads. But we're listening to God, amen? And I'm hearing him, and I pray that we hear him together. But in Mark 1:13, read it with me. It says, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. That's Jesus being touched by an angel. I'll date my age. It was a time when I was living a long time ago. There was a TV show. Some of you remember it. Touched by an Angel. Now, it's a pretty good show. The problem is with those shows then, they distort the Word of God. They do things that don't match up with the Word of God. But I'm talking to you this morning about being, as Elijah was touched, that, hey, how to be touched by an angel, as the Bible says, how it's more than a TV show, more than a figurine sitting in the house, more than a poem on the wall, but there's really is this idea that as Jesus was tempted and as Jesus met those temptations with the Word of God, Jesus listened to God. Jesus heard from God. Jesus answered back those temptations by the Word of God. He shared back with Satan what the Word said. Jesus basically saying, Satan, I know you're lying. I'm not interested in what you're saying. I'm going to tell you what God says. And that's where we stand, y'all. We have the Word of God. And we can know that as we stand, I believe, through those temptations, those same ministering angels can come and bring us peace and touch us like they did Jesus. In Acts 5:19, the Bible speaks of, let's just turn there. In Acts 5:19, I was going to read one verse, and I'm going to get all hung up this morning here, because, man, there's so much here. Acts 5:19, I do want to read that verse, and then we're going to kind of go around it a little bit, but specifically in 5:19, we have the angels working. We have an angel's touching. Looking at Acts 5:19, the Bible says, but the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth. Y'all, now think about that for a moment. Could you imagine, first of all, being locked up? Imagine being in captivity as the old boys were here. It says, but the angel of the Lord by night opened the doors and brought them forth and said, go and stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. So an angel comes along, touches them, and says, hey, you just go and you just share God's word. I'm telling you, I believe that every night, if we could see, and the Bible even speaks of the angels around our children, which speaks of guardian angels. I believe if we'd realize that sometimes, and people often talk about, they have a loved one that's dying, and they sense the presence in the room, they see their loved one like looking and reaching out to somebody. Hey, in the supernatural world that we live in, y'all right? Hey, there's the physical world, but the Bible talks to the supernatural world, and I'm telling you, I believe in angels. Why? Because they're real, amen? It's because God uses them, and God wants to fill. Sometimes I think at night, he'd fill up our room. We ain't got to seal them. The Holy Spirit's inside of us, but I tell you, there's an army, sometimes I believe in angels, in our rooms and house, that, hey, you need to realize that whether you slept or you didn't sleep, that you need to go out, and I'm sending you out, and we're going to go be there protecting you as you go out to share the Word of God, amen? Why do you think there was one night in Charlotte where they was tearing everything up and they hadn't done that every night? Now, whatever reason you come to your mind, I give you the real reason, the hand of God. When God will remove his hand a little bit, watch what happens. And things don't stop, God put his hand back on. God, I believe, has those ministry angels opening doors, wanting to send forth. There's a warning, though, found in 2 Corinthians 11:14. I'll read the verse for you. It says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Now, think about that one. God is saying that at times, one way Satan works, he transforms himself, and he will come to you as an angel of light. One of the most practical explanations and examples I can give that of you, I've seen it often in ministry for 20 years now, someone will be having trouble in a relationship, whether it's in a dating relationship or a family relationship, but most often in a marriage relationship. And they'll come and they'll be talking to me. I've very rarely had a couple come talk. Couples come and ask me to marry them. Couples don't come back and talk about marriage problems. One comes back. And invariably what Satan, I believe, will try in every situation. When you begin to have marriage trouble, if you may be separated from the person you're married with, I'll have this statement made to me. Preacher, God has sent me the most wonderful Christian man or woman to help me. And I've gotten to practice now when anybody sends me that, I quote this verse. I remember being on the phone with somebody one day, and they were telling me how wonderful this person was and how God was using this person. And this person's married. They made a lifetime covenant with God. And here they are telling me that this wonderful Christian man or woman is talking to them. And I quote this verse. And no marvel, just be remembered that sometimes Satan will transform himself into an angel of light and come at you. Hey, the conversation, it didn't last too long. Phone rang back. Where's that in the Bible, that preacher? Okay, I'll just tell you, it's in 2 Corinthians. I'll show you how to find that, because see, usually when I tell people that, that's not what they want to hear, and they just confirm to me that the very scripture's coming true. Let me help you out something. Because some of you aren't even having marriage trouble. But maybe your wife doesn't walk quite as close to God as you think she should, or you want her to. Or maybe your husband doesn't walk quite as close to God as you think he should, and you want him to. But all of a sudden, down there at work, or out on the ball field, or even in the church, there's this wonderful person who's talking to you and listening to you and helping you. And what that is Satan transforming himself into an angel of light, sending somebody. Because I'm telling you, there's no good Christian man or woman that's spending any time listening to what problems you've got in your life and family and trying to be part of a relationship that pulls you away. Y'all right? It happens all the time. So it tells us in the Bible there are ministering angels that God will use for us, but there is Satan who will transform himself and come. And you can just add to that your own story of how you've seen wonderful Christian men and women will do what God's word says, and they won't do anything to be doing anything like Satan would, okay? That's a warning. But turn to Hebrews 13:2. Hebrews 13:2 should be a verse that we pray over and that we think about and we're excited about. Hebrews 13:2. I want you to read it with me. I want you to see it in your Bibles. Hebrews 13:2 says, I see your pages turning. Let you get there. Hebrews 13:2 says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Wow. For thereby some have entertained angels unaware. What the Bible is saying is, man, you be careful when you're dealing with a stranger, somebody you don't know who they are or what. And I'm telling you, this is biblical. They're saying you might be unaware that you're entertaining one of God's angels. Most practical examples I can think of is I was at work, and where I used to work, we processed payrolls, and we had people's blank check stock, and we had signature plates. We had all kind of things that you didn't want people to get a hold of, and there was lots of levels of security. When you came in the door, there was not only the security there, but the further you got, the more sensitive stuff, the more security it was. And I was working one day, real busy like we get at work, amen, and I remember there was a couple of guys that were delivering stuff, and we had back stairs. Had no elevator. We had back stairs, and they were toting up boxes. Guy was hot and tired. He looked at me, in my suit and tie, and he asked me if he could have some water. My immediate answer was no, because that meant that I was going to have to take him through several locked doors and security doors. That was going to take time, and I was busy, didn't have time to mess with it, and I said no. It weren't instantly, I wish it had been, because it made it a lot easier, but I didn't learn anything by it, but it was, as I walked away in my busyness, all of a sudden, thank God, that God brought to memory that verse in the Bible. And I'm thinking, oh no, what if that was an angel sent to test my love and compassion, asking for a cup of water? All of a sudden, and I'm literally what I did, I ran through all that security, I ran to the break room, I got a cup, I went to the water fountain, I got a cup of water, I ran out the back door, and those guys were driving out of the parking lot into Moorhead Street. I flagged them down and stopped it. I know they thought I was crazy, and stopped, and he rolled down the window, and I said, here, I am so sorry that I told you couldn't have water, here's water. And the other one, I'll never forget having a time in my life. And am I saying, well, he was an angel? I don't know. I just know what the Bible says. But I best be careful. I remember having a time, and my dad had been sick for a long time, and that creates a lot of difficulty for your dad physically and for your mom and for family. And this just, you know, sometimes those things go a long time, amen, long time. And we were at the beach and had taken a little time away, and I got one morning real early, before the sun was rising, and I went out for the sunrise, and I'm walking down the beach, and you know, ain't a whole lot of people on the beach. You got a Myrtle Beach, you ain't crowded then. And I'm walking down, and I'm thinking about all the trials and all the troubles, and I'm thinking about all the thing, and I kid you not, literally, all of a sudden standing in front of me, and the only reason I point this out is because of all the silliness going on in our world, was this black man. Standing in front of me on the beach with nobody, smiling at me and looked at me. And I to this day cannot tell you exactly the words he was saying because I was so in shock. But it was something to the effect of, you know, knowing the worries that you have and the things that come and speaking of what God does or whatever. And I'm thinking, man. And I just listened and I thanked him. God's my witness. I don't know how far I walked. I don't know. And there's plenty of ways to exit, but I turned around. I didn't see him anymore. Now, some of y'all are saying, well, he went up the beach access back to the hotel. Well, maybe he did. But maybe it was an angel unaware. And a black angel, too. Ain't that good? Y'all right? Isn't this crazy where we live? Y'all, the problem is not with the color of our skin. The problem is not with the police. The problem is not listening to the Word of God. Because that one verse there, if you'll believe it, says it doesn't matter who you encounter. You might be entertaining an angel unaware. You might be in the presence of God Himself. Well, that's how angels touch, and that's just briefly. But the next one is being touched by the Holy Spirit. Being touched by, turn me to 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 26. We're going back Old Testament, New Testament, 1 Samuel. There's a passage here that literally jumped up off the page for me as I was studying. And I don't know how far we'll get past it. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 26. So the Bible, angels touch. They still touch. But 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 26. Look what the Bible says. The Bible says, and Saul also went home to Gibeah. And there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. Read that with me. There's a band of men traveling there, and it tells in our Bible whose hearts God had touched. That's what I pray for the men of our church and then for a band of women in our church, that, you know, that we come together and we leave here and that God's touched hearts. And more importantly than on a Sunday morning, but we're a band of people, even when we're separated, that we still believe that if we'll be sensitive to God's touch, that God is a God who can touch our heart. You know how we know that God still touches hearts? Because God can give us a heartache about something that's going on. Some of your hearts have been aching about all the trouble you've seen and what does it mean for our world in the future. But I'm telling you, that same God that can touch us and want us to realize what's going on and realize the losses of the world and the darkness is the same God that can touch a heart and bring peace and bring comfort. Folks, God still touches hearts. And he'll touch, whose hearts does he touch, preacher? Those people that live a certain place or look a certain way or act somewhere or know the Bible better or pray or more. But no, God is in the business that if we'll be, listen, anybody, it'll be sensitive. A lost person in darkness, they may be yelling and cussing and screaming and killing people and doing all kind of things. God's still small voice is knocking on their heart's door. And God is saying, I simply want to touch your heart, let you know you're lost, and know that I can touch your heart again in that lostness, and you can receive Jesus Christ, and I can touch your heart, and it'll be different forever. That's what the Bible says. That's what listening to God does. And I pray, and that's what I was describing to you in testimony, from the time I arrived this morning and from the time that I was in Sunday school and the time I was praising with you in God, God is the God who touches hearts. Amen. He can give me a heartache and he can give me peace, and all of it is in relation to that very heart that the Holy Spirit wants to touch. Job, in Job 19:21, Job says, have pity on me. Have pity on me, oh you my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me. See, God, we want God to touch us and fix everything. Stop the killing. Stop if there's racism. Stop everything. Stop the rioting. Stop the heartache. Stop the things going on in family. Stop. God, we want you to do something. When God says, see what Job, God had touched his heart. God had touched him in a way that he had taken his family, his possessions. He had touched him in a hard way, amen, with a hard hand. And Job's crying out, God, have pity on me. Have pity on me, God. He called out for his friend, have pity on me because of what God is doing. See, when God touches a heart, it's not always in a touch saying everything's going to be okay. Sometimes God touches our hearts and says things aren't okay. They're not okay with you or they're not okay in the world. So it drives us to want to listen to him more and hear from him more so that we might be able to be sensitive and be a light to go out and have a word to share. How many times can we say, have pity, God, please, and we're looking to have pity on me. God is touching my heart, and man, he's having his way with it. In Jeremiah 1:9, the Bible says, then the Lord put forth his hand, and he touched my mouth. We need some of that, amen? He said, the Lord put his hand, he touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Y'all, we could just camp out there the rest of the Sunday morning, all through the afternoon. We just, you know, the touch of God. Be sensitive that God wants to touch. I believe through the Holy Spirit that God still does want to touch the lips of our mouths. Because I'm telling you, folks, there's certain ways you talk, and there's certain ways you say and words you have with your mouth, and we've heard something this week that you do not know the Lord. The Lord has not touched that soul. The Lord has not touched that mouth. Because it says when God touches a mouth, what comes out of it is that he puts his words in our mouths to come out. And every one of us, beginning with this preacher and every person sitting in the queue, the choir, the deacons, and every one of us, we've had times this week where God, we've not allowed the Holy Spirit to touch our mouths. We've made comments and statements about what's going on, maybe not all of them in short, but other places, and it's not been the Word of God because we haven't had time for God to, when God touches our hearts, I'm telling you, when he gets our heart, he'll touch our mouth, and those words will come, and we'll find that often it'll be much less words that we'll say, amen? I desire, don't you desire with me, God, touch. Lord, Holy Spirit, touch my lips, touch my mouth, and I want the words to come out, as the Bible says, but words that will be pleasing to you. In Daniel, and I'm not even going to take time to turn there, and there's a section in Daniel that begins in Daniel 8, but it focuses on chapter 10, and we may just spend, Lord, I don't know if we will or not, but we'll next Sunday in Daniel 10, because study ahead. See if God won't touch your heart like it touched mine. When you look in Daniel 10, and it's the basis, it's the biblical scriptural basis for one of my most favorite songs that's ever been sung in the church, and that's the song, Power of Prayer. Y'all seen me before. Some people here, we're going to sing Power of Prayer because the preacher likes it. I'm sitting down here, somebody's seen several songs, and I'm sitting down here, will you sing Power of Prayer? It comes out of Daniel chapter 10. The song is based. That's where it comes. That's why it's such a great song. It comes out of the Bible. But in Daniel 10, God is getting a hold of Daniel. And you find Daniel on his face. You find God putting him up. God is speaking to Daniel. And there's so much humility. And there's so much the power of God. And there's so much of Daniel just wanting God to touch his heart, touch his mouth, to put his word in, that he might know how to move forward from where Daniel is at that point in his life. And y'all, every one of us, every pastor, every person in the world, I'm telling y'all, folks, when God touches hearts, and when God touches mouths, you know it. And that's what we need. And there's nothing. I'm so sick of hearing people's names this week. I don't think one single time I heard the name Jesus. Lost people do the same thing, whether it's 1905, 1932, or 1960s. Lost people always act like lost people. And the problem we have is churches are full of lost people. And there's lost pastors, preachers. There's lost deacons and choir members and Sunday school teachers. And lost people, God's not able to touch their heart. He's not able to touch their mouth. And then we bear a great responsibility, y'all, because so often as Christian people, we act like lost people. We think like lost people. We talk like lost people. We act like lost people. And Lord willing, as we look at Daniel next Sunday, we'll move on to that third part and begin to look how God, I'm telling you, people are missing the angels, y'all. And they're lost and they're missing the Spirit's still small voice. And shame on us, they're missing us. That we entertain angels unaware. So y'all know what I'm talking about. There ain't no explanation for it. And the Holy Spirit's touched. And we go out and touch. Amen. What an opportunity. Amen. Let's pray. If you're lost this morning, if you don't listen, if you aren't sensing Him touch your heart and touch your mouth and involved in your life, just make it easier on yourself and just agree and surrender and say, God, I'm afraid I'm lost. And during this invitation, we're going to sing. And this song is simply that. It's an invitation. It's a time for you to leave your seat and leave your sin, leave your lostness, and come receive Christ. How about it, Christian? Has He been touching your heart in so ways and touching your mouth? Or would you say with me this morning, oh, Lord, I need a fresh touch. And there's often not a better place in the world to get a fresh touch at His altar. Just a touch that, God, I want You to touch me, God. I'm going to be sensitive to Your touches more. I'm going to start now, and I'm going to go out next week. Lord, send me out to touch others. Maybe God wants you, he's touching you, saying, I want you to be part of the church. Take that next step. Become a committed, join the church, get involved, begin to serve. We open the doors. Whatever the need is, but I challenge you to come. Every one of us has done a lot of talking about some terrible trouble and tragedy right nearby where many of you work or shop or visit. Done a lot of talking, a lot of thinking. How about a bended knee and some prayer to God? But prayer that says, God, we want to listen to You and we want to keep Your word and be that answer. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would You lead us, Tim? Would You come? Would You come and pray?
505. 505.
Shackled by a heavy burden, 'neath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me, oh, He touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul, something happened, and now I know. Touched me and made me whole. Sin since I met this blessed Savior, since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never see. Shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something now I know he touched me and made me whole.
The words of that song, thinking, my goodness, I love Sunday school. I'm a Sunday school teacher. And Scott told us today, he's now listen, happiness is based on your surroundings and your circumstances. He said, but joy comes to the Lord inside. That touch we sang about, that's where the joy comes from. Man, I'm thankful. I'll tell you what, the Word of God, worship time and prayer will clear up a lot of the muddiness and unclarity of what's going on. Amen? Man, we just praise Him. And I challenge you, and I know revival is a great time, and you'll make sacrifice come to revival, but I'm telling you, come and pray with us. Because I said before, there's hurting families in our church, and your neighbors are hurting. And we got physical needs. There sits Brian in his wheelchair. Cancer here and here, and maybe in here or here that we don't know about. Rare diseases we've never heard of, all kind of things. And I'm telling you, revival often, I hate to keep picking revival, we just had it, and it's wore off on some of you. Revival's about oftentimes coming and getting something. Getting a good message, getting a good word. What I'm telling you is, I need you to come tonight to do something, not get something. And that is pray that God will meet us and touch us. Not just the people we're praying for, God will touch us. So we leave here tonight and go touch others. Amen? It's a battle, y'all. The Bible says we're in a battle and we're soldiers. And sometimes, y'all, we are the laziest, softest, whiniest, distracted soldiers in the world. I don't have the answers, but I know God does. And I'm simply praying that God will touch us tonight. He might touch and heal somebody tonight. But most of all, He might touch us and send us out with a great clarity of how we go forward. Amen? Amen. Come back. Be with us tonight. Marty, you close us in prayer.